to my life. I can take a wild guess.
You know what's crazy? What is this?
Sushi means sex.
What is going on this show?
It's the lighter side of the dark side.
Oh, no, he didn't.
What did you do?
Yes, thanks. Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's the Dark Mark Show, everybody.
Hey.
It's our six-month anniversary show.
6 months. Congratulations.
Six-month anniversary. And it's things are going crazy already. Absinthe.
We're throwing chocolate around.
Absinthe and Snicker bars go really great together.
Woo!
Trick or treat. Happy Halloween. I'm going to throw this over for a second because Josie Cadenfoci is not here tonight. She's actually doing some red carpet interview work at her horror festival tonight.
Shriekfest.
So she'll be interviewing Sid Haig from Devil's Rejects, Edward Furlong, and other people. So she can't make it, but it's actually kind of cool that she can't in that it's our 6 month anniversary, and look who's here. And you're going to want to see this. My original co-host, the one who started with me, Hell's Bell is back by popular demand.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be back.
Say hello to the Dark Minions in your sexiest voice. The Dark Minions.
Hello.
Okay, that'll do.
Hello.
And, Moy, look at the dress that she's wearing and look at all this. I have to tell you, we started on another network at April 1st. And it seems like yesterday that we were at City Walk. I was chasing down Hell's Bell.
Shitty Walk.
Bree Walker. Susan McIntosh, the comedian. They were going to have some dinner about the same time the show was starting, and I had to drag them out of the Chinese restaurant, feed them some absinthe, and get them ready for the show.
Nums.
And it was a great show. And the last time Hell's Bell was on the show, she danced on a table in front of the guitar player from Ministry and the guitar player for The Temptations with popular demand. And those guys have seen a lot, and they kind of blew their mind.
They've seen a lot.
So we're glad to have you back, Hells.
Thank you so much for having me.
And actually, the last time I saw Hells, it was at Batcave. I actually introduced her to her successor, Josie Katz. Mm-hmm. And then I went outside. We were talking to some friends, and I kept hearing this hubbub about there's a big hubbub about Hell's Bells taking off her clothes in the club, and it was a whole. We were out on the street, and people were like, "You gotta see what Hell's Bell's doing. She's taking off her clothes." I'm like, well, duh, that's what Hell's Bell does. So anyway, Hell's Bell, thanks for being our co-host. I'm gonna bring the camera around, although I could
look at that all day.
Well, I'm gonna be looking at that all show. I'm no offense to one of our favorite guests, the woman who bit me, the Indiana housewife gone bad, Jenna Sharp.
Hey, everybody.
Yay. Hi, Jenna. This is your third appearance. You are the guest that's been on the most.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
You are a Hall of Famer. You can't, and we can have, please come by every week. We love to have you. First you came on and bit me during our vampire show.
Yes.
The second time you were there, Doc Shock shocked you.
Yes.
And now we're going to get into some interesting, breath play is what we're going to be talking about. Because we have right next to you, and I'm sorry if, between these two girls, I haven't been able to look you in the eye, but this is...
it's an optical illusion. They're here, I'm not really.
Well, you are, but it's hard to concentrate. Master Overbound is
hello,
here.
Hello.
And before we get started, I have to say, first off, we are being brought to you by HillarysVanity.com.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite. I love their clothes. I wear their clothes. I have they have men's
no,
clothes.
I know they have awesome.
I want to see you in a bustle.
No, I'm not wearing bustles, but I have a murder coat. I have a tie. I have a shirt. Hells, I shouldn't ask you this, but what size are you? You're like a small, medium.
I'm medium.
Medium. Master, you're what extra large?
I don't know.
You're a big
that.
Dude.
You have to dip into a foreign language to find out something like that. So, I'm extra large.
Extra large. Be, you're a big dude. You're extra large.
And, depends on what you're talking about.
And you were, well.
Oh, nice.
You know better than we will, and we'll find out. So so that I guess not an extra large down there.
Hey,
but Jenna, you know, the hands are big, but that's not always a key.
Well, you know what big hands and big feet mean, right?
Big heart,
big gloves, and big shoes.
There you go. Both those answers do
big
well.
Cup.
And Jenna, you're an extra small. You're small. Is what you told me last time.
It's probably just a small. I'm not an extra small.
Yeah, small.
Because I thought Ruru was an extra small.
Ruru's extra small. I thought you were a medium, but you're a small. I'm a 2X. They have sizes from extra small to 4X. Men and women's clothes. Matter of fact, they're looking for plus size models, men and women. So if you're a beautiful looking larger person like myself, go to hillarysvanity.com and also go to hillarysvanity.com because they have great clothes.
Special and, made.
Special custom, yeah. The stuff is just dynamite. It's all professionally made. We had Hillary on the show. We had a fashion show and her stuff is fantastic. If you want to look fabulous, and don't be afraid to look fabulous, don't say vain and like it's a bad thing, go to hillarysvanity.com, get some clothes. If you're in LA, you can make an appointment to go to her private studio, trying all the clothes. If you're not in LA, because we have people listening in.
They're so creative, and it's a great look, too, because she's got that whole, like, vintage steampunk thing going on.
Absolutely. So there's a lot really of stuff. Cool. If you're into goth, steampunk, metal, whatever you're into, she's got whips, chains. She got all sorts of stuff.
Accessories.
She does have accessories. Nice. She has all sorts of stuff. So if you go to hillarysvanity.com, because we have people in Canada, Russia, Philippines, England, all over the world listening to us, go to hillarysvanity.com, all over the country, and she'll hook you up. Cool. And this is the 6-month anniversary. I want to say thank you, Josie. I miss you, but Hells is here, and
we all miss you, Josie.
We love you, Josie. And I
want to thank Hells and Josie for being my co-hosts. I couldn't have done it without you. And I also want to thank because. I don't want to thank the GoCast Network because they're no longer in business, but I do want to thank Emery and Heather Henderson. They're the reason we're here, and Jeremy and everybody here at Skid Row.
Yay, Jeremy.
There you go.
And before we get into the naughtiness, I do have to say, Rick Escueta, who has a show here, just had a baby. Is that right, Jeremy?
Yeah, that's correct.
And so I want to say congratulations to Rick. He's a great comic. Now we know why his show was off the air for a while.
Yeah, so he took a little hiatus. I don't think too many people really knew what was going on. He kept it to himself for quite some time.
Right.
But yeah, he is, I believe it's a daughter, and he's back on the air now.
Rick Escueta is a very funny comic. He has a show here. Is
Radio Time on Tuesdays from 6 to 8.
Is Radio Time, so you might want to listen to it because he's got a mouth to feed. So please support him. And also my other friend who's another terrific comic, Brett Gilbert, just had twins. And congratulations to him.
Cool.
I'm never going to have kids. As much as Hell's Bell wants me to impregnate her, it's not going to happen. How many times do I have to tell you it's not going to happen? So Master Overbound, the reason you're here, and it's funny because I know these two. We run into each other at clubs. We say hi. That's all we, because I'm kind of a dilettante in the fetish scene. I'm not really hardcore into the fetish thing.
You pop up and make your appearances.
No, I'm here. I enjoy watching fetish stuff. I enjoy the girls. I enjoy the fashions. I enjoy that. But when it comes to behind closed doors, I like to spank a little bit. I like to do a little handcuffs, a little play. But it's just a little play. I'm not really that serious about it.
Right.
So I'm sort of a dilettante in the scene. People tell me all these things. And you have been... Now, first off, you're Master Overlord.
Overbound.
What the fuck is... I saw
if this was Star Trek, I'd be Overlord.
Overlord, yes. Is there a Master Overlord? There's got to be.
Not that I know. He's got to be out there somewhere, but he's hiding in a cave developing bombs or something right,
right.
now.
Right. So Master Overbound, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a master, and he could flog me, like, maybe later in the show. He'll flog me, but... So how long? We got some flogging coming up. that's one of our paddles
later.
There. That's not from Rick Escueta's show. That's from our show. But bank someone happy. So how long do you have to be in the fetish scene and be a dom before you become a master?
There is some protocol, and there's some in the community. There is some sort of hierarchy where people are recognized as different things. But the title master, or sir, dom, or lord, or anything like that, isn't, in most communities, it's not formalized. So it's not like you enter the community and then you graduate to have that title. People will develop what they want to be called
right.
in the beginning, and then the community rallies around those people and just either embraces it or not, kind right. of a thing.
I mean, so if I walked in and I said, I'm a lord, and people, and then they're around me for an hour and they're like, you're not a lord, then you're going to lose your lordship.
If you call yourself something and you go start playing out publicly at clubs and the community, the established community sees and they're like, that person doesn't know what they're doing. They're not going to walk right. up to you and say, strip you of your name and be like, right. you can't call yourself
I
that.
I am Sir Gigantic Schlong. You can't, yeah. And,
it'll just become like a thing where it's like, well, that's his name, but yeah.
Okay, so nobody's challenged your mastership.
No, nobody's been like, I'm going to challenge your name and right. take it away from you.
Right. So and you know both these lovely ladies.
I do. Yes. I know Jenna, and I have had some conversations with Hills, but we've actually only been in the same room for like maybe a total of 5 minutes.
Right.
So this is the longest I've ever been
not
in her presence.
Mm-hmm. Is there something I should know, or not? Is that
no,
for
just,
the air?
That's
or?
Just the way it is.
Okay. So.
And miss.
But you've been discussed on the show.
I apparently
Jenna discussed you
that's
on the show, and
my reputation precedes me.
Right. So and it's like us. We've been in the same room. We don't really talk that much because we're always like, you know, talking to girls like this.
Uh-huh.
So
mm-hmm.
I saw you at the V Society last week. I was saying that I have Orpheus coming on the show mm-hmm. next week. I have Cyrus is coming on. He's going to feather some girls. That was supposed to be tonight, but we're going to do that next month.
Mm-hmm. Which means I may be back again.
Oh, I hope so.
Yay. By then.
And any crazy S&M stuff you're in for. That's great. So, yeah, and it's weird because and the reason I preface this is because here on Skid Row Studios, and Jeremy will tell you, they have a show called Intellectual Kink. Mm. And those are two real doms that talk about serious S&M stuff, right?
Yeah, they're very involved in the scene.
Right.
Who are those two guys that do the show?
They're girls.
Oh, they're girls.
Yeah, they're women. One is Insidious Muse is what she goes by, and the other is Service Slut.
Oh, I know Service Slut.
You know Service Slut. So we will get... So that's a real hardcore S&M show. We're the lighter side of the dark side. Mm-hmm. So we're going to goof around. We're going to talk about stuff. And it's because I'm curious about it. Today we're going to talk about...
And I was going to bring my puppets.
Mainly...
Are you a puppeteer?
No.
Okay.
Just saying.
Right. So...
Jeez.
Yeah. Hells wanted... Master, could you stick your hand up Hells's anus and kind of work her like Muppet style? Let's see what we can do.
Oh, that'd be hot.
Mm-hmm. I'll just tie some ropes on her and do the whole marionette.
You just want to see my mouth open.
You have no idea. Actually, I can't see your mouth. I don't think I'm going to be looking at your mouth all show because of that breast. I mean, dress. Anyway, so Master.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to call you
okay.
Master.
But go for it.
Yeah,
it's
so
call
weird calling
him Master.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you guys call me. Me calling him Master is really weird, but it's okay. We're going to talk
call
about
me Overbound.
No, I'll call you a bastard. It's funny in that way. But right, I was going to talk about, it's weird. Like, we're going to talk about breath play
mm-hmm.
and any other thing you want to talk about.
Okay.
Now, is this your specialty or do you have other things that you do that are?
I try to have a lot of variety and do a lot of things because it's best if you're going to be out in the scene and, you know, sort of be somebody who is there as sort of an advocate for the scene and, you know, introducing new people and helping people explore and playing with different people, it helps to have a wide variety of things you do so that right. you don't have just one small agenda. So like the most established people in the scenes tend to, you know, try to widen their toy bag and be able to do a lot of stuff.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that I do. Breath play is one thing that personally interests me the most and, right. and I like it. So it's one of the things I lean towards and I've really like gotten into and researched and done a lot of stuff about. Right. But it's not like, you know, the only thing.
Well, we should go back because now, where are you from?
New York.
Okay, because you didn't strike me as a California guy.
No, I'm from New York. I moved out here 8 years ago.
Okay. Now, did you start in New York in the fetish scene?
I did. I started in the fetish scene in New York. I got into kink there. I started going out in the community, and then I dated.
Well, tell me how you got into kink. How did you first, like, I mean, you know.
My ex-wife.
That'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
That'll do it. Nothing is more hardcore than,
16 years ago, my ex-wife came to me and said, you know, I'd like to be tied up. What do you think about that? So the very first kinky thing I ever did was I tied my ex-wife to the bed using the only thing I had handy, which were my neckties. Like, so
I've done that. I have a lot of neckties.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the hell I was doing or anything. Right. And I kind of took to it. And over a couple of years, I way surpassed her, and I got to a point where I was starting to get into things that she was not. And then, you know, that marriage ended nicely, you know, thankfully. And then I've just kind of explored things with different people. And after about 3 or 4 years of doing it privately and exploring around, I decided I want to take this serious and I want to get serious about it. So I went out in the community and I started meeting people. And then in New York, I hit it off and I started dating. My girlfriend for 2 years in New York was one of the top professional dominatrixes in New York City.
Okay.
And I dated her for 2 years and she actually taught me a lot. She was a professional dominatrix. And then in the bedroom privately, she was probably still to this day the most heavy submissive I've ever seen.
And see, that's the thing. I've said this on the show before. Every dom I know has that submissive side.
Has the submissive side privately. They want to let go of control.
Exactly.
They want to just like let go privately.
Because I see these girls and they're just kicking the shit out of guys. And then I give them a little privately and I sort of kind of give them a little smacks and they really respond.
Yeah. So I told her, I said, you teach me, you be my mentor and teach me things. And then privately I'll reciprocate and do that stuff to you. So she was the greatest teacher I've ever had.
And this was in New York or was it LA?
In New York.
Okay.
And then I did that in New York. And then when I came out here, I just sort of dove into the community and started meeting people and going around and including my, you know, reading books and going to classes. Because the kink community in LA holds little seminars and classes and clinics and stuff, you know, on different things that you can go attend. And yeah.
Do you think I should attend one of those?
Find something that strikes your fancy and go to it and just check it out.
Because I see those all the time. Now, when you first got in the community, I have to ask, how long did it take for you to get that that whip thing down that everybody does with the circle with the whips? You know what I'm talking about.
It's called Florentine.
The Florentine, yes.
The Florentine technique with the floggers. That's something that you just, if a lot of people who are in the scene too are also either Florentine comes naturally if you have any kind of a history of martial arts and you use nunchucks all the time, or a lot of people are fire spinners and do poi and that kind of stuff, and that's the same exact motion.
And I masturbate a lot, so that's that helps. But no, because you always see the Florentine, the whole thing. And if people don't know about the S&M scene and Florentine and all, first off, why are you watching this fucking show? But I mean, that's the thing. Everybody has that rhythm where there's
subtle variations in it too.
Yes, there are.
If you were to line up 10 people and watch them Florentine, there's subtle different patterns that different people do. You develop whatever's natural to you. It comes natural.
And how long did it take you to develop the Florentine?
You start doing it. And I practiced, when I first started doing it, the first thing I did was I practiced on the back of a chair.
Right.
Like I would put a chair in the middle of the living room and just hit the back of the chair until I could target and say, I'm going to hit this inch of the chair. Boom, 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 boom. And you know, once I got good at it, then I said, I'll hit a person now.
Okay. Then you start. Speaking of hitting a person, so Jenna, we talked about this before. You have a similar story in that you were married.
Yes.
You were a little too much for your husband.
Wow.
I wouldn't say that, but I mean,
and now you're running wild.
My attitude and my behavior maybe was different than what was expected in Indiana.
Yes, and now you want to get shocked, I'm there. You want to get choked, I'm there. You want to get pierced, I'm there. Orpheus is coming next week. I don't know.
Given my age, but does anyone remember that commercial? The give it to Mikey, he'll eat anything.
Yeah.
Mikey
likes it. I'll do whatever.
Jenna likes it.
Jenna likes it.
Yeah. Fireplay next week? What do you think?
Sure, but I thought Morgan wanted me to, like, he's going to pin me. So that's going to be in November,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's going to be, next week is our,
Mark's trying to line it up that you come every week and you're the demo bottom for everybody.
basically,
guinea pig.
And you are a bottom. Are you a bottom? I guess you're a bottom.
I'm a switch.
A bottom?
No, that's what I thought. I thought you were a switch, but when it comes to master, you're a bottom. When it comes to me, you're a switch.
I'm very naturally more a dominant spirit.
Right.
And I will sub to one.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever I happen to be attached to at the time. Right. Like, that's the one person. I don't just, I don't serve myself out as far as...
Except
for the Dark
March. Yeah, I don't serve myself around.
Except for the Dark March show. I guess maybe I'm
Jenna's off subbing around town.
The ultimate master. Now, Hells, you were nodding in agreement. You seem to know a little bit about this.
Yes.
Now, tell us about your S&M side, because I didn't even know. I know a little about it. I'd like to hear more.
What would you like to know?
Are you a bottom? Are you a sub? Are you a dom?
I'm more of a dom. And
do you Florentine?
And
do
I can
you
relate with her, as she was saying. If I'm comfortable with somebody, I will do you know, submissive, but mainly, yeah, I'm a dom.
Okay. And you really get off on kicking the shit out of guys.
Yes.
And Jenna does too.
Yeah, it's more about control.
Yes.
Yeah. Being a dom or a top isn't always about just the physical. It's it's a mental state, a control and an attitude too.
Right.
But more for me, whenever I want to dominate someone, it's more about giving them their needs. Right. And so, like, that makes me happy. I fulfilled their needs.
Yeah, makes them happy.
And there's a term for that. It's called a service top.
I'm a service top.
Oh, okay.
I'll be on top. That's fine.
It's not to say that I don't really enjoy watching them wince in pain.
Right.
But, you know, like.
But that's what they like.
It's a bonus. It's like the gravy on the top.
Yeah.
The icing on the cake.
Yeah, because I'll be honest with you. I sort of like, if I'm going to play some games or do little things, and that's all I do, you guys look at me like I'm an amateur, and I am. But I'm telling you, I'm a dilettante. Yeah, I'm a little spanky here and there. But I like to be the one that's in control. I like to be the one. Mm-hmm.
Well, most men do, usually.
No. You'll be surprised because I consulted my friend who is a submissive because I was asking about breath play because I know nothing about it. And he gave me this whole litany about it. He had the whole thing, and he's like, I don't do it, wink, wink, but I know a few things about it. And so the thing about breath play, all I know about breath play, two things. Mm-hmm. Michael Hutchins from INXS and David Carradine. That's all I know. And
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Right, and the thing about
Is that the same thing, though?
Well, we're going to find out. But I was going to say, that's all I know about it, and there's two things that from those examples that I know is that A, they were doing it wrong, and B, there must be something to it. If you're willing to go to that extreme that you die, you're really getting off, I would imagine.
It's that twilight stage.
Is it that intense though that, you know, obviously they would go towards death to reach that?
Well, the whole point.
They just doing it wrong?
Well, you're
doing it wrong.
Obviously,
autoerotic asphyxiation is the term for it.
Right.
And there's only like one way to do it. So it's not about necessarily you're doing it wrong or right. It's just they're doing it too long. Like their duration and the way they approach it.
Right.
Is wrong.
Because what I understand, and I could be wrong about both cases. It's really weird because nobody really knows if that was autoerotic asphyxiation or they had people doing breath play with them and just went wrong.
I don't know. Did the news reports say there was anybody else in the room were they found like hanging in a closet?
With both cases, there's been several things. Like, especially David Carradine, I think, was in Bangkok.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like, you know, was there a hooker in the room, that type of thing?
Well, Michael Hutchins, if he's like laying on a bed choked out, then obviously somebody had to help him. You can't do that yourself.
Right. But
Michael Hutchins, wasn't he like hanging from the clothesline?
But
like
some people say that there was somebody in his room and they left it like that so it looked like he did it. That's a rumor.
That's a crime scene question then. I have no idea. You're not the CSI, you're not the FBI. But there are people who will like, you know, put a rope around their neck, tie it to like a, you know, some sort of overhead that like the closed bar in a closet or something like that. And then like squat down, start masturbating. And right when they get close to coming, they'll just like lean back and put their weight on it and choke themselves while they're coming. And they get that twilight, that kind of like pre-pass out twilight stage where you sub out. And in that there's a release. The orgasm during that is very intense.
I'll take your word for it. I'm just masturbating regularly. I have no idea. It's just like coming regularly is just fine with me. I don't need to tie it. But in my extensive research, this week was not just staring at pictures of Hell's Bell and Janet Sharp, which there's plenty of them. And there was I found a couple nice ones.
Were you
perving
me? Huh? No.
I got an okay picture of you. I throw it out there.
Oh, yeah, a picture of you too.
I actually didn't research you at all, which is very odd because I figured I'd ask you these questions. I don't know that much about
you. Let's keep it that way. I don't want the FBI to know it anymore than they do already.
Right. So, but in my research, I looked on Wikipedia, so you know it's accurate. They were talking about that when people hang themselves, that a lot of times they have erections or they actually come.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that, like
public hangings. Like, so there's got to be something to it.
Well, with the public hanging, like a gallows, like a punishment, you know, hanging by death,
right,
kind of thing,
right.
Everything goes haywire. People shit their pants. They pee themselves. They'll come. Like all body functions go crazy when you hang because when it, and that's very different. Like a death by hanging is extremely different than either autoerotic asphyxiation or play breath play from BDSM. Mm-hmm. Because when you hang, when you put a noose around your neck and you're on a gallows and they pull the platform and you fall down, actually it has zero to do about breath. There's no choking or breath that happens at all with that. What happens is when the rope pulls and snaps, it pulls up on the neck and it separates the skull from the spine and it breaks your neck and you die instantly.
But you might have boner.
But when it's done right.
In breaking your neck and severing your spine, all your nerves and senses go like crazy at the same time. You cut off the brain from the body. So all body function just kind of overloads and everything happens at once.
Right.
It's just like,
but isn't breath play, isn't that part of the sensation, is that some of the brain is shutting off?
Yes, and exactly, it is.
And I'm assuming blood is coming to the nether regions.
Which is actually a really good thing that I was going to bring up and talk about, is that breath play is breath play because breath is involved, but it would be actually better named if it was blood flow and tongue play. That's technically what it is.
Wow, that's
oh,
nice.
Really?
Yeah, the tongue and erotic. The blood flow in the neck are the two things that are worked to make breath play happen.
Okay. So when did you start with breath play?
Years ago. The dominatrix in New York was the first one to talk. One of the first experiences I ever had with breath play was she was very, the girl I dated there, the dominatrix, taught me. I had to do a lot of research. A lot of the play when I first started playing with her was all about, I had to go to the library and read books and stuff because she was into some extreme stuff. But one of the first experiences I ever had with breath
play. She's a harsh dom.
Yeah, she used to like breath play that was involved with drowning. So one of the first games we used to play was we would do things where I would fill up the bathtub with water and then I would hold her under the water and choke her and actually like bring her to the point of drowning and she would orgasm from that and then I'd pull her up out of the water and revive her.
I don't know why that's making me laugh. That's like,
but she wanted
I've
that.
Never
that's
been,
how
I've
she
never
got
been a relationship was like, could you drown me? I've never had that happen. Wow.
That's how she got off. She had the most amazingly intense orgasms by being drowned in the tub.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know till you try.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
That's true, though.
So you have to, in that place, it gets scary, too, because nobody wants a good, fun BDSM session to end with, like, ambulances in the hospital.
Well, you got to make sure the bubbles keep coming up, I guess.
Or not just the bubbles. Yeah. You have to keep your eye on fingernails. You have to watch if the fingernails start turning blue. You have to watch the eyes rolling back and the color of the pupils.
And this was in your research.
Yeah. There's a lot of medical things to be aware of and watch when you do breath play because you could kill somebody.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and that's why it's controversial. Even people, mm-hmm. even some people in the BDSM scene are frowned upon breath play because, and there are people that have
died
from it.
Well, they frown upon it because you really have to know what you're doing to be safe about it. Because a lot of people, you know, will just go out there, like you were saying, you're just going to call yourself Lord Mike, Michael, or Mark, or whatever, you know,
that was Sir Gigantic Cock to you.
Sir Gigantic Cock. But a lot of people go out there, they think they know what they're doing. They think, this is hot, let me do it. And they grab somebody and start choking them, and they don't know what the hell they're doing. So it's like, hey, really stop until you really know what
you're
doing.
So the Dom did it right. And it's, you know, she was probably spanking you as she did it. Like, you maggot, you go to the fucking library and you start reading.
No, she didn't top me. She just taught me stuff.
Okay.
And then, but I do, I think it's amazingly, responsible, and I give props to any dom who's responsible enough to every couple of years, like every 2 or 3 years, I put myself in for like a day. I'll go to a mistress or a dominatrix that I respect, and I'll say, I want you to scene with me all day. Like, I want you to put me in the zone and just do whatever to me, and I want to be the submissive for a day to re-educate and retouch myself to what that's like, so I can remember what it's like when I'm doing to a sub.
And when you do that, do you dig it?
No, it's not like a personal thing that I like, but I do it to put myself ever, in that mind zone and to educate.
Ever has anybody done, you know?
No, there's never
been. Stretch your balls and you're like, you know, that's not that bad.
On
you
a
know?
Personal note, there's never been a time that I've subbed to anybody that I've been like, this is fucking hot and I want to do it again.
Right.
I do it for research. I do it for education. I do it to, like, you know, be responsible about, you know, putting myself in my sub's shoes and knowing what they go through. Right. But when the day's over and the clock strikes 10 or whatever, it's like, all right, thanks, we're done.
And kids listening to the Dark Mark Show, watching the Dark Mark Show, that's a good lesson for you. Read, Everybody should read. Everybody should get an education.
Experience for yourself
and
first.
Experience. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
And so that's and Jenny. So have you been drowned in the bathtub?
No.
No. Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm just asking. I don't know. Any drowning in your past? I don't know. I don't know your swimming techniques. Oh, you've been drowned in the bathtub?
No comment.
That's a yes. That's a yes. How did that feel?
There's not too much I haven't done.
And there's not too much I have done. That's why I'm doing this show. I'm trying to get edumacated in this. So when I was laughing, I'm like in the bathtub, you're like, oh, I've done that. Wow.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that to me, it's not for like the absence of oxygen. It's the rush when it comes back.
That's what it's about.
I've been asking all these questions trying to get around it. What is the turn on? What do you get off on?
For everybody. I mean, I don't know. For me, it's the rush whenever it comes back.
That's really
so, like,
the crux
that has
of
to
it.
Be timed
that's what
correctly.
It was for me.
Right.
Yeah, totally. That's what the whole point of breath play is. It's not about depriving oxygen and to put you in an unconscious state. It's about
to
put you in that twilight zone that when you're released and now you do breathe, the rush of becoming aware and conscious and coming out of the twilight, that's the attraction. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're chasing.
Because I think the closest I've ever come to this, and this happened, I think, in 10th grade or something, we were at this party, and this dude, I think his name was Sandman, ironically enough, was his nickname, and we were goofing around, like, doing some wrestling moves and stuff. He's like, I'll put you in a sleeper. And I always thought it was bullshit. I'm like, that sleeper hold's stupid. Like, yeah, I always thought it was stupid. I always thought it was fake. He put me in a sleeper hold and choked me out. Uh-huh. And it was, so I was, I'm at this party. No, it was weird. Well, what was weird is, I know what you mean by the twilight feeling, because when I woke up, I was like in a half-conscious state. And it looked like zombies and like skeletons were like coming around me. And what it was when I was fully conscious was people... You know, all the people around me going, are you okay? And so it was a weird state. I didn't get off on it, but it was just, I see what you mean where there's, so when you get back with that consciousness.
You ever been to the dentist and they give you laughing gas?
Yeah.
That it's the same kind of thing. The laughing gas is a chemical that will, that the,
nitrous oxide.
It reduces the oxygen in your brain. It reduces the blood flow to your brain. So it gives you that kind of weird, twilighty, almost high, detached from reality feeling. And that's what breath play gives you too, you know, that stage. And then when the blood rushes back and you breathe again, that coming back is like, it's almost like when you have pins and needles in your hand and your body becomes alive again. It's like, oh my God, it's good.
So, but I mean, have you ever, I mean, I guess you know what you're doing. I guess you got taught well. I was going to say, have you ever had a scary moment where somebody was like, it took a while to get back.
The scariest moments I've ever had doing breath play were not like a medical scary moment where I was like, "Oh my God, I killed her," or you know, "We're gonna have to call an ambulance."
Like a new sensation was playing on the radio and it was fucking weird.
Exactly. The scariest moments I've ever had with it have been moments where I was with a relatively new person that I haven't played, and I'm very conscious of body movement and breathing patterns, and you have to pay attention to somebody's signals that they're doing at that.
And by the way, you don't play with guys, or do you?
No.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I was just curious.
I don't seek it out. I mean, I've seen with guys. I've done stuff with guys before that. It was like a fun scenario and it was a challenge. And like the guy was a Marine and he's like, you can't hurt me. And I'm like, oh yeah, really? Let's go for it.
Oh, kind of like the Sandman thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not like going to have a guy come back to my house and be like, hey, you want some wine? And here we go.
Because you're being very genderless. That's why I was asking. And there's nothing wrong with it. Please see what all the guys you want. You know, Jeremy's in the studio. You want to do a scene or?
But I was saying that the scariest moments I've had weren't medical scary moments. It was when I was playing with somebody that was relatively new, and they were they didn't know what they were getting into. And once it started, they kind of freaked out and started kicking and flailing, like, "Okay, stop!" It was a scary moment, like, "Oh my God, oh my God, are you okay?" I thought they were going to go crazy, you know, kind of thing.
Right. And you know, now I think we're kind of at the time that probably we should show people what we're talking about. And first off, before we do this, Don't try this at home unless you know what you're doing and you've studied with people and you know what.
And the important thing for those everybody at home to know, if you're going to study about it too, that it's not, breath play is not like aggressive, like choking like a killer would in a movie. Like when you watch movies and they come at you like two-handed and they grab and they crush your windpipe, it's not about the windpipe. It's not about crushing somebody and making them not breathe.
Right.
Like I said, it's about the tongue and blood flow. Where your jaw bends, like right at the back of your jaw, these little, you know, where it makes the angle right here.
Well, I've got a beard, so that helps, yeah.
Yeah, if you were to draw a straight line across your neck from one of those to the other, that's the sweet spot. That's where you're playing with right there. And that's where the palm of your hand right in here goes, right on that spot. You want to push up and in to make the tongue cut off oxygen in the throat. What you're doing, you know, the tongue is very thick and it goes down your whole throat, right? If you push up in that spot, you're actually closing the throat up by using the tongue inside it. And once you're up in there, then you use the inside of your fingers to press on the vein and the artery that are here. So you're cutting off blood flow and using the tongue to cut off the breath at the same time. That's entirely what you're playing with and doing. That's breath play. And there's Mark done. Throw some absinthe on him.
Oh, no, okay, we're back now. No, I see what you're saying. So it's not like choking... although I'm sure, hells, you've had some windpipe play, I'm sure, but anyway. If you can demonstrate what we're talking about, let me first off, hells, have another absinthe.
What are you talking about?
You're so sedate today.
It's Kool-Aid.
Before I like demo anything or anybody wants to go for it, there, you know, you can do the breath play. Like we could sit here and I could put my hands on either of these lovely ladies' necks and show you what I'm talking about. But then there's also a technique that over the years that I've developed that includes not just the breath play, but when you screw around with their equilibrium and their other senses too. And I have a technique where I stand
up. Me first!
I stand up and I stand behind them and I hold their arms and restrain them and then grab them and I bend over backwards and bend their whole body over me.
That's what you're telling me about.
And then when I'm done choking them, I stand them up very quickly and the head rush of them coming back with the oxygen and the equilibrium and their balance... Most of the time, girls go right to their knees and are just like, boom, and I have to pick them back up, and then they're like, they come back to reality, and it's very intense.
Are you up for that, Jenna?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let me ask you, have you ever, and I think you might have asked that already, had any negative...
The people that don't like it?
Yeah, something bad might have happened, or they just, you know, it just didn't... They freaked out, or
like I was saying, when somebody's relatively new and they're curious and they're like, oh, I'm curious, I want to try it, and it's always excited me kind of thing. And then I'll do that. I'll like pick them up and choke them, and within a few seconds they start kicking and slapping me, and they're like, stop putting me down! Oh my god! Like they're freaking out.
Breath play is not for everybody.
It goes beyond breath play, and they start thinking death. Like you're gonna kill me. And
yeah,
like,
exactly.
No, I'm not.
So that's what I'm saying. Has anything bad ever happened to the point where? On both parts, you guys were feeling uncomfortable.
Well, no, they freaked out, and I put them down, and they're saying, okay, I'm done. That was too much for me. And I was like, okay, well, we tried, and then we're cool. You know, they don't walk away and like, I'm going to sue you, you know, or anything.
Right.
Hey, we gave it a whirl, and it freaked you out a little bit. It's not for you kind of thing. But
just trying.
No bad.
This guy's a master. He knows how to do it.
And how long, that's my other question. How long have you been doing this, and how did you go about doing it?
The doing breath play stuff?
Just... Everything.
How long have you been a dom? I don't think we talked about
16 years.
16 years.
What got you started into it?
My ex-wife. I wanted to tie her up.
Hell's just woke up, apparently. We're going to watch
the
replay and all these questions will be answered.
Where's the rewind button?
Stop, you guys. No, I meant besides the ex-wife, was there anyone else that brought you into it, or was it just her?
No, there was a dom.
She awoke the interest in me, and then I started looking into it, watching videos online. And that kind of. And I was like, this is really freaking cool, you know? So I kind of explored around, and then it just snowballed from there. And then I started going out to clubs in New York and seeing other things that people were doing. I was like, that's cool. That's cool. I want to do that. And just.
And by the way, when Hell starts giggling and says snowball, I know what you mean.
Well, I do want to say something really quick.
Yes.
If there are girls out there that are interested in this, I suggest finding someone that you trust.
Yes.
That is trusted in the community and has experience with it first.
Right.
Like, don't just go running off to somebody and be like, oh, I want you to do this. If they don't have any experience and you don't have any experience, you don't know that they're doing it wrong.
Right.
Yeah, and that's
plain
how people
simple,
get
like,
hurt.
Exactly. You don't know you're doing it wrong. They don't know they're doing it wrong. And damage, like severe damage could be
And I would think that breath play is not where to start with an S&M thing.
No.
try the spanking and the bondage and there's steps.
Get your fuzzy handcuffs and start with the amateur level stuff.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but that's the blessing and the curse of this, like the double edged sword of this whole 50 Shades of Grey thing that's really popular right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The blessing of it is that it's making it socially acceptable, and a lot more people are becoming aware and are dabbling in BDSM now, which is wonderful, and I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. But the curse of it is that people read this book. And then they go out to their local sex shop and they buy a whip and some handcuffs, and then they go out and be like, I'm a dom. And then they start coming like a bull in a china shop at people, and they hurt people, and it's right. Like, you're not a dom, you don't know what you're doing, back off.
That's a really good point, Jenna. If you're gonna get into the S&M, there's ways to learn.
That's
there's people
why
to learn
was,
from.
Yeah,
but especially
him.
With like breath, edge play, that kind of stuff. Like
This is your life.
This isn't just like fun. This is your life that you're playing with. And find somebody who knows what they're doing first.
Right.
Experience it that way so that you know what to expect and what not to expect.
I didn't know this show would be so responsible.
And you have to feel comfortable with the person.
You absolutely do. And
we all want to keep this legal.
Yeah.
So it's like,
trust and respect.
Let's be careful.
Nobody's going to have a good time if there's not a good trust and a good respect.
Yeah, if you don't feel comfortable and there's no trust.
And there's always got to be a safe word. And there's things to do it.
Yes, on one side of the coin,
of course,
I will
my safe word is ouch, which doesn't really help. But
on one side of the coin, to be responsible, and the billboard side of me is going to look to the public and say, always establish a safe word with your play partner and always use it and always allow her or him to know that it's not them failing if they call it. It's their duty to like tell you when they've had enough, and that's the good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the secret flip side of that is once you do establish an amazingly good dynamic with somebody and you know what you're doing and you trust them and you have an excellent energy flow between the two of you, pushing their boundaries and not using a safe word can be very hot too. But that's advanced level. That's like, senior year.
I'm in kindergarten. I need a safe word.
Start with freshman year.
Do you always need a safe word? Would you always recommend a safe word? Would people...
To anybody starting out? Yes, of course.
Starting out, yes. Yeah.
Just one safe word, but like anybody who's new into the scene and wants to get into it, there's a very old and tried and true and well-respected... a process which is like using traffic lights, the yellow, red, green kind of thing.
Right. Yeah,
so if you're going to start out playing with anybody, then do it. You know, if everything's good, have your playmates, green's good. If it gets being where they want you to slow down but not stop, yellow. And if they say red, put down the toys, back away. It's all bets off on red. So use the traffic light while you're playing.
And that's even if you have somebody that's new to the scene, even though you're a master.
Mm-hmm.
Safe word probably be the best thing.
Safe word is good. The yellow green thing, and a lot of times though, I wind up in nightclubs, hosting fetish play or being out like that, and with loud music, and so you can't hear them. It's dark. People throw dry ice fog around. You can't see a lot. So if I play with people out of the club, what I'll do with new people is I take a little cocktail napkin from the bar and I'll crush it up and put it in their hand. And I watch their hand while we're playing. If they open their hand and drop the napkin to the floor, that's them saying, stop, that's our safe word, and we're done. I back away and say, okay.
And by the way, I have seen you in clubs doing things. How's the money in that? Is that okay?
It's not
so like gas money, or is it a little better?
There's a little bit of money here and there. Some people pay you, some don't. It's mostly for just the fun of it.
I was thinking of giving up comedy and maybe doing that, but no. I guess it pays about the same.
Being a club dom in the LA scene, you can maybe buy a wheelbarrow and live in a tent. So
okay, good. but you can get a nice red shirt like that. So
because I have a day job.
I'm sure you do. I know your day job, and that's an interesting day job as well.
Mm-hmm. Are you an escort?
You what?
Yeah, he's
an escort.
Anyway, so did you want to demonstrate this? Are we going to do
this?
Sure, yeah. So I don't know how we can, with the camera here.
Do you want me to, sitting down thing, or you want me to show you the standing, like the thing that
Jenna,
I do?
Jenna, what do you want?
Like my signature thing.
What do you want?
Oh, I don't care.
Because I could take the chairs out of the way. I could kind of adjust the camera.
I wouldn't be here or put myself in this situation if I didn't completely trust him.
Okay, so let's move the chairs.
Okay.
Okay. So
which means we have to take off headphones.
I know.
Take off headphones. I'll describe this. Hels and I. Well, I'll describe it, and Hels will describe it 10 minutes later.
You can narrate.
Shut up.
Because we do have people listening on iTunes, so.
She's the recap.
And look at, let me take the camera over here for a second because you got to see this dress. Oh my goodness. That is Hell's Bell is back. I didn't know you'd be so overdressed. Okay. So hold on 1 second. Let me try to get this a wider shot.
Even if you're, you know, seasoned professional or getting into it, going out to clubs, whatever, too, if a lot of the play that happens publicly, whether you go to a dungeon party or you go out to the clubs or any of that kind of stuff, people will try out breath play. Either, whether you're doing it at home privately or at the clubs or whatever, don't do this drunk or high, you know, like when you've got a lot of blood alcohol or you're on drugs or whatever, because you're playing with blood flow and you're playing with oxygen.
Are you saying giving or receiving or both?
Receiving mainly.
Okay.
But I mean, if I was like knocked down drunk, I wouldn't come near her. But
you know. Could you put the mic out of the, like, the kind of just like that way?
They just made it out of the way.
And then we'll take this. There we go.
Can you see everything here?
Right, we can see everything. Master Overbound and Jenna. You guys make a cute couple. This is like the most fucked up prom ever. This is great. This is great. And Hell's is by my side. Okay, so we're gonna demonstrate this.
I'm looking. Can you hear me if I talk like this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So you're stroking your neck.
Like I said, the blood flow on the side. So you just kind of run your hand up and down. It preps them, you know, kind of mentally. And,
okay.
And if I find where everything is and I get a feel for her neck,
mm-hmm.
and then hold her arms like this.
Okay.
Sort of put my hand in position. Give her like a little bit of a, you know, warm up or whatever. Yeah. And then. You good?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
And then catch him off guard and do it again.
You're a naughty boy.
Yeah. See? It's like a lot of times, this is a good technique to do and to hold them there too, because when you put them down, their knees will buckle sometimes.
I saw that.
Yeah. Like if I just let her go, she'd be like, boom.
You know, I mean, obviously you're a professional, you know, but when would someone know? I mean, would it be a safe word that you would tell them?
How do you know that? I think what she's trying to ask, and I think it's a good question, is how do you know when to stop?
Yeah.
Well, I can when I take her arms like this and I bring her over me. First off, I can feel her body on me. I can feel if it starts like shaking or her feet kick or move or some involuntary thing.
Okay.
And then while I have my hand on here, I can feel obviously if her neck is like she's choking, like you feel her tongue flickering,
right,
kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I can feel the blood. I can feel whether there's blood moving or not in my hand too. So I just basically I'm feeling and aware to listen. And also, like, you know, when you do that, your instinct, she's keeping her head up against my hand.
Right.
If her head was to go limp back on my, you know, and I feel her head just kind of fall on my shoulder,
right,
she's probably out. It's time to stop.
Okay.
So you be aware to all of the body stuff.
So you're not choking her so she gets knocked out.
No, but she's not getting knocked out. I don't want her to be unconscious.
Right, that's why I was...
You in that state, when you came back down, did you have that kind of like...
Yeah, it was like a head rush.
Like that head rush. Right. Kind of thing.
So you're not trying to get her unconscious. You're trying to get her in a heightened state.
Right, if I could... What's the point of playing it? It's like, let me choke you out and then we're done and I'm going to go watch TV now. Because what's the point? I want to get her... I want to get the person I'm choking in that kind of like... Almost like they're on drugs feeling, you know, it's like, wow, things are cool. Like, right.
Well, that was impressive. First off, thank you, Paul, for doing it.
And
you can do it as many times as you want. Please don't stop. See,
and I like doing it too, where I bend over because the equilibrium, you throw her balance off.
I bet you do.
And then you come back down, it helps with it too. You know?
Jenna, before he chokes you, is there something poking you back there? Is there a little...
We're friends.
Is there a little master poking you from behind or...
Uh-huh.
Happy?
Very happy.
My goodness.
So, let me ask you.
You want to try it?
Come on, Hal.
No, listen. That's what I was going to say because, like, that's new to me. Like, I've been choked, slapped, spanked, all that. But the way that you're doing it, I don't know how I would put it. Like, is it... pretty much how, like, when you, like, how do you know when to stop?
First off,
do you
ask her, what, how do I know when to stop?
Yeah, or does she?
Well, first off, it's first off, if you were going to try it right now and I was going to do it to you,
yeah,
this
so
is
I'm
the
saying,
first time I've ever done it to you, so
yeah,
I'm going to keep it nice and short
time.
Exploratory. You know, I'm not going to be like, ready, 40 seconds.
Hells, you want to try it?
Sure.
Okay, Hell's Bell's going to try it.
Don't kill me.
Okay, hold on. Let me make sure you're in the frame.
No, it's
so
just
yeah,
a little introductory
thing.
You just sit there and take it, basically.
Sit there and take it.
No, I'm gonna be all
no, just basically this will be like a little introductory thing, and just and I'll put you down, you tell me how you feel and if it's cool
you,
and
this
whatever.
This looks really fragile. Would you like for me to move this?
Yeah. Yeah. You wanna be free of it.
See, these are experts. They know what they're doing.
Okay, let's go.
Me, I'd be choking with the necklace, but that's just me. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's just so fragile and pretty. I just don't wanna risk it. Okay, yeah.
Thank you, Janet. It's nice to have a woman's touch around here.
I know. Thank you.
Are we in frame?
I didn't even know you had a necklace.
She's like, wait.
Before I do it, what do I do? Like, tap you out? Is this like tap out? Or?
If you feel like you need to sort of tap my leg to let me know to stop, do that.
Okay.
But I'm going to be real short.
He's going to be gentle and you should
introduce you. And you tell me how that was and be like, wow, that was cool. And I'll be like, you want to try a little longer? You know,
you shouldn't have to tap is what I'm saying.
I'm not going to do like, you know.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
Let me find your neck here. You feel that right there?
And the
that's what we're
just
shooting
try
for.
And stay relaxed.
Yeah, just stay relaxed. We're going right here. You good?
Mm-hmm.
You okay?
Yeah.
See, that was like very short, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to try a little longer one?
Sure.
She's all worried about it. She's like, now bring it on.
That's
our
goals.
Oh.
See?
Look at
the jail.
I love
that. You love it. That was good, right?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for hells.
All right, hold your hair up, and I'll back on you.
She just graduated to junior level.
Okay. No,
now
it's
she
okay.
Can take a little
I
more.
Got this.
There you go. This is a little more than junior
okay,
level right
I
there.
I just have to say, on the air to everybody, mm-hmm. I've done many, many things, but I haven't done that before, like in that.
Well, know, when you get to us on the mic, we're going to ask you.
It just was right? intense. And so if you haven't done it, yeah. Am I not
Let's everybody sit down and we're going to talk a little bit more and then we're. Okay. When does the time go? We're going to wrap it up. But before we wrap it up, now tell Hels, how did that feel?
Yeah, let me. Okay, yeah, I just have to say I've tried many, many, many things, but as far as the way that was, it was very, very intense. I don't want to tell people to go out and do it, but if you find somebody that, you know, is a professional that's done it, I would recommend it.
She would recommend it.
Now, what's the difference? Really, wait. You've been choked before, though, right? You've been choked before.
Yes.
What's the difference between what he did and
Here's my hand. Give me the Hell's stamp of approval.
You want me to slap it? Slap it, dang it, or
give
what?
Give him the Hell's stamp of approval.
That was good. It worked.
So what's the difference between that and then?
I've known this cat for a while, and I trust him. Right. So I wouldn't, you know, like I would. I would never do that with somebody I didn't know. But
because lifting it up, that basically because your feet aren't touching the ground, you think you're more helpless. Is that the idea? Or
well, yeah, it's also equilibrium. Like, I mean, you're choking somebody out. Their eyes are closed. They can't breathe, and they're like bent over backwards, kind of like what the hell's going on?
In your arms.
It's almost
floating.
Like you're floating in air, but it's really, really intense. So if you can find somebody that you trust, I would definitely recommend that, but only to somebody you trust.
Is that right, Jenna? It's like you're flying. It's like a
little bit, but I keep my eyes open because I actually like to see the black coming in.
Oh my God, now I have to try it again. Oh. I missed that, damn it.
Are you ready for one more? Let's do one more.
The tunnel vision coming?
Yeah.
You want to try it again?
You want to do it with your eyes open? Okay. I need to please here at the Dog
like
Mark
a
Show.
Coaster. I didn't know I had to have my eyes open.
You don't have to. I'm just saying I like
Jenna
it.
Jenna has an advanced technique. She's been doing this for a while.
Once I see the black stars, so.
You got your necklace on again. You
want to
take?
Oh, you got to take off the necklace. This damn jewelry's getting in the way. It's like it's like having Mr. T on the show. It's really weird.
Jewelry playing commercial during the jewelry delay.
Right. Okay. The jewelry's off. Okay.
Can you keep your eyes open this time, I guess?
Yeah, keep it open.
Okay.
Ready?
Hell's Bell is getting choked. She's leaving her eyes open. Master Overbrown's finding her tongue in her neck. He's lifting her up. The eyes are open. I see the giggle.
Yeah, I like it.
Was that like Space Mountain or what was going on there?
Yeah, I felt like I was in Disneyland. Like, it like caught me sick.
Well, Master Overbound, I'm impressed.
It's your turn now, Mark.
No, do you want me to do it? I'll do it. Can you lift me up? I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe. I've played with some larger people before, but I don't know.
Girl, should I do it?
Yes.
Should he try it?
Yes.
See if we can make this happen?
All right, first off,
I would suggest not... back.
So far back.
No, okay,
so let me preface
maybe
this by saying, Master,
majority of the show, and
no, that's fine, Master, because Jenna bit
maybe
me. I've been
so
shocked. I do everything
back.
That everybody does. I'll try it. I'll see what's going on.
Yay!
You be gentle with me, even more gentle than you were with these two. and but let me preface this by saying, Master Overbound and I clearly are not homosexual in any way, and Jeremy will back me up on this. Who has the hottest girls on their show of any Skid Row show?
You do, Mark.
Exactly. So I'm very heterosexual. But I've got to experience
Thank
this once
you.
And see what's going on, okay? So
you have to.
Okay. Now you, Jenna, get on the mic and Hels, describe this for the audience, okay?
Wait,
actually,
she's
going to go
over
that
one.
Are
you coming here?
I'm going over there. You want to come? Yeah.
She's probably going to end up explaining
so
it.
You know where I am. All
right. I think I might be able to give you the off the feet a little bit because I am a big guy.
I'll let you explain it because you're like, you know.
How's it look? How's it look on camera?
I can't even get his arms behind his back.
I know. Can you even see it?
What do they say?
Well, do what you can. If you can't lift me, it's fine. Yeah.
Well, I might not be able to lift you, but there's another technique that you can use. But you'd have to be on your knees. I think that's going a little too much.
Do you want me to go on my knees?
All right, I got it.
Lift your head up. Let's see what we can do.
Okay.
All right, ready?
Okay.
Let me see what we can do. Ready?
Yes.
You got him?
And it's ready to start, and here it goes. A little bit of gagging.
Got that a little?
I felt that a lot.
You felt that a lot? It is. You're a big guy. It's hard for you to
know. That's a big guy, I know. But,
but there's also, look at the camera. Too. There's
They're watering
also,
just slightly.
If you were to be right there, and I was to go right here, and hold the back of your head. Wait, don't tighten your neck. You're like,
All right.
Just relax and just let it just
like,
be limp.
Relax.
Yeah, don't fight it.
A little bit of gagging.
Oh, okay.
Did you start to feel that like little
I did,
coming
no,
on
I did,
you,
I
like
did.
The little pins and needles kind of feeling?
Yeah, no,
coming
I did. Yeah.
No, I
will describe now. Blood did not rush to my nether regions. When you said limp, I was definitely limp. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
When you say blood went to the nether regions, it did not. But I did feel it was kind of similar to the. Okay, I'm not limp anymore. It's kind of similar to.
I found it very erotic. I like it.
Yeah, it was.
It was educational. With the girls, it was fun. With you, it was just educational.
No, it was. wow. I can barely sit down. It's weird. There is a
kind of exciting.
There's a euphoric feeling. And it's sort of, it's sort of like, whoops.
Yeah, it is. It's a very euphoric feeling.
It's a euphoric feeling. I don't know what happened there, but anyway, so I guess switch to this shot, but okay. I'm still discombobulated. This is like, this is the second time I've been choked on the show. I had Charlie from the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling squeeze me between her legs, and it was a similar feeling. It's a similar feeling. It's kind of a weird, my equilibrium is a little off, and it's a weird thing, and I suppose that yes, if we were playing sexual games, I guess it would kind of add to it. We weren't clearly, so it's not a sexual feeling, but I understand what you mean with the.
Well, no, of course, like no matter how your body responds to the stimuli of it, if you're not in the zone, if you're not with somebody that you're aroused already, it's not.
I can see how people submit because I'm kind of jello right now. It's really weird.
Yeah, and I wasn't sitting there with my hands on your neck like, fuck.
And I'm sure you choked them way harder than you choked me.
Well, also.
Plus, their necks are smaller.
Yeah, I could get only so much of your neck with them. It's like, whoop. You know?
Yeah, both their necks could fit in my neck. But where does the time go? This has been such a great show. I never thought I would be choked, and we got a good breath play
and
demonstration.
You lived, so. Mm-hmm.
I did live. So definitely don't try this at home, but if you do, definitely make sure you're doing it with somebody who knows what they're
call
doing.
Call a master.
Right.
If they don't, yeah, call a master. Yeah.
Don't
call
just
master.
Go off of that.
Thank you, master. Make sure you know what you're doing. If not, learn what you're doing first. And that's with any
and if you're,
activity.
And just in a general way, if you're anywhere in your community and you want to get into this kind of stuff, there are always communities and clubs and people and groups that are out there that know what they're doing. Just go out and look for people that are established and have a good reputation and get around them and just, you know, do it that way.
Right. Not the Catholic Church. There's other places to go. Anyway, Jenna, it's always a pleasure. Actually, I was going to tell you that last time you were on the show, somebody complimented your radio voice, and you do have a terrific radio voice.
Oh, why, thank you.
But it was a guy.
Thank you.
I think he just wanted to bang you, but as most of us do. Master Overbound, you were a pleasure. Jenna, where can we get in touch with you? I keep saying this, and I forgot to.
Just like Facebook. It's Facebook. Jenna S. Sharp.
Jenna S. Sharp, and all sorts of interesting pictures. You can do your own research. It's always good. Mm-hmm. And Master Overbound, where can people find you?
Facebook as well. Facebook, Master Overbound, or FetLife. If you're in the community already, FetLife.com is like the place where everybody goes, and just look for Overbound on there too. Anything
coming up? Any clubs? Anything you're going to be doing? Any play at?
Oh, yeah, of course. The next one on the radar is next weekend, the 12th, October 12th, is Noise Factory.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here. And we'll be doing that. I'll be hosting. I got my equipment and stuff at Noise Factory. So
I think Sanctuary is having Ritual? Which Ritual's is like a blood type
event. I think I'm going to check that out. I'm doing the show and then I might check that out.
What will you be doing exactly at Noise Factory? Do you have like different activities, so to speak, that you do?
Well, when I host Fetish at the clubs, I have a cross and a bench of my own that I bring and I set up at the club and make a little play zone and then... people who come, anyone who wants to get choked, anybody who wants to get played with either by me or by anybody else in the community who shows up, and usually good posses of people are there, and then we just kind of use the equipment and make a little play zone, and then new people come up and they're like, ooh, I'm going to try this, spank me. And,
so is it open to where you have spanking and flogging, or is it just...
Yeah, no, it's everything. It's anything you want, any kind of fetish you're interested in, either me or somebody else there will know how to accommodate that.
So Noise Factory, October 12th. A lot of people are going to catch this on the replay, so they're not going to send it. But check out Master Overbound on FetLife, Facebook. Are you on Twitter, Tumblr, any of that stuff?
No, I'm not. I'm an old man. I'm just getting into social media. So FetLife and Facebook are about all I can handle right now.
I know, me too.
And Hells.
I'm like, well, how do you use this like button?
I've got to put the camera on the dress one more time. Jeremy, we got to get that shot.
On the almost dress.
The almost dress.
On the almost dress.
Oh, as beautiful and charming as ever. Hells. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Oh. You can do it at this. Oh, there it is.
Oh, you can.
At Skid Row Studio.
Is that the studio here?
Yeah, at this studio.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, you fuck it. Yeah. Let's all take off our clothes.
Naked. Okay.
Let's all get naked. Jenna?
I would put my balls in the absinthe then. I didn't know.
Oh, no.
Oh, that
would have
been delicious.
Jeremy assured me no balls. But Hells, if people want to get a hold of you?
The best way to get a hold of me is at Facebook,
Hells Bell. You can't miss her.
Yes.
And she's usually at the corner of Cahuenga and Hollywood around 3 a.m. wearing this dress.
Or not wearing this dress.
Or not wearing that dress.
Or Skid Row. You can find me on either.
Anyway, so this is Throwback Thursday. It's so great to have you as a host again. I want to have you come back. I want to have you and Josie Cat in the studio.
I would love to come back.
Wrestle naked. To see who gets to be the permanent coach.
Yeah, please come and watch us either Jello or mud wrestle. We got to do
Jenna,
that.
If you want to be a co-host, we can get you into the action.
I want to be a ref. Can I be the ref?
You
got to
wear the ref shirt.
Actually, possibly I could judge a largest breast contest between the two of you. It looks like a tie from what I'm looking at, but
I would lose. Are you talking about her and Josie?
Her and Josie.
Oh, okay, I was like, yeah, sorry, so sorry, you're including me in that.
No, but her and Josie. That's a good contest.
That's a close one.
That is a close one. Anyway, for myself, and we're running a little late, and I'm sorry about that. Go to gothcomedian.net, gothcomedian on Facebook, gothcomedian on Twitter, and you're all invited. November 2nd, my birthday show.
Oh.
I'm going to be performing at the.
We're all like.
I'm going to be performing at the Ice House in Pasadena, the world famous Ice House.
Nice.
And then awesome. We're going to have an after party, probably at Bar Sinister, where the amateurs are. But,
oh, my God.
That's cool.
But I mean, we're going to have a guest list and champagne and whole thing.
No, the amateurs are not necessarily Bar Sinister, the upstairs area where the King play happens.
Oh,
right
Purgatory.
There.
Purgatory.
Purgatory upstairs.
Sometimes there's amateurs, sometimes there's not. No.
By Dominus Phoenix right. and Paul, two very mm-hmm. long standing, very no, yeah, well skilled people.
Don't you work up there, though?
I go play up there, but I don't have never worked.
Which one's the guy? Which one's the guy that looks like the big ragu? The
big ragu.
Paul.
Paul. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Paul and Phoenix, and then sometimes on occasional nights too, they have a femdom that works up there, Hutsy Hahn.
Right.
Well, she's amazing.
And yeah, she's amazing too. She's really, really knows what she's doing. So
anyway, where does the time go? What a show! You choked everybody out, Jeremy. Choking? You want to get choked?
Love it.
Jeremy's not gonna get choked. Anyway, thanks for paying. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Definitely darkmarkshow.com. Follow us on iTunes. Give us a good review if you like what you see. And go to hillarysvanity.com and have a wonderfully creepy week.
Cool.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
From the wall to the door, what you wanna do? Do you want some hardcore? Do you like it raw? South Olive, downtown LA, Skid Row Studios, motherfucker.
Hello, I'm Chris Cahill, host of Psychic Every Day on SkidRowStudios.com. I come to you live on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock Pacific Time with a show about being psychic and all things psychic. You can call in during the show to get a reading. The number is 1-800-893-9562. And that is at www.skidrowstudios.com. You can also find Psychic Every Day as a free downloadable podcast on iTunes.
Hey, y'all. It's Thursday night. 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You done wasted your whole life already. You got nothing to aspire to. What else is another hour gonna take away from you? Tune in Thursday night, 9 p.m. Nestorius Public Radio. I'm Nestor Rodriguez.
This is Simon Kaufman with Nestorius Public Radio on SkidRowStudios.com. We're huge, bro. We're blowing up. We got a Facebook fan page, dude. Check it out, yo.
Nestorius Public Radio. Thursday nights, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Go to iTunes. You know what to do. Look up podcasts. Look up Nestorius Public Radio. Subscribe. You know what I'm saying? Just do it.
We're going to have our own video game soon, bro. It's huge. It's blowing up. We're trending. iTunes, new and noteworthy.
That's right. Busting it out.